with a message. We got some young ladies that's going to come and sing for us. Jesus, the very thought of thee. You pray for them as they come and sing. Thank you, ladies. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Appreciate all the ministry of music. Oh, it blesses our hearts. Acts chapter 4. And shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. We pray for those that are not feeling well that are traveling that they could soon be back with us. And pray that the Holy Spirit now would speak to each of our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 4 and verse 9. Acts chapter 4 and verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were what? Unlearned and what? Ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? Jesus. We are living in such a wishy-washy, mixed-up day. I mean, whether the news is interviewing a preacher or a politician or whoever it is, it's like, who will stand up and say what verse 12 says? Neither is there salvation in any other. When is the last time you've heard that or read that in heard it on national news or read it in some national publication where someone simply says what God says in his word, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him? We're living in such a wishy-washy day where they can't decide what religion. They don't want to offend anyone, so they're offending God. You stop and think about that. They don't want to offend anyone, except they don't seem to be too concerned about God himself. And what a sad, sad day in which we are. I read this week that a man, his name is Spencer, he is predicting the collapse of evangelical Christianity within 10 years, he said. He said he expects about half of the evangelical churches to die off in the next 25 to 30 years due to generational reasons or because their members become more attracted to a secular version of life. Well, my friends, that is really, this term, evangelical Christianity, I looked it up, and it used to mean a term believing in the fundamentals of the faith, that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross. It's not through any works of our own. It's us repenting of our sin and yielding our lives to Jesus Christ and asking him to save us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Think, if we could get to heaven by doing good works, think what heaven would be like. It'd be full of people bragging and boasting about what great things they did down here, and that's why they got into heaven. Well, you know, that gets old real quick, doesn't it? When you're around someone that's always boasting about what they have done, well, that gets tiresome. But heaven's not going to be like that. No one's getting in there on their own works, only through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, gave himself for us on that cross. So this man is saying he expects the downfall of the church. Then he goes on. In a recent column for the Christian Science Monitor, Spencer wrote, "We evangelicals have failed to pass on to our young people an orthodox form of faith that can take root and survive the secular onslaught." Well, if you read the scripture, the parable of the sower of the seed, someone that doesn't have a faith that takes root doesn't have faith. 1 Corinthians 15, it's a vain belief. It's an empty belief. So then he goes on, I thought this was very interesting. He says, and I quote him, "Ironically, the billions of dollars we've spent on youth ministers, Christian music, publishing, and media has produced a culture of young Christians," he's the one that says young Christians, "produced a culture of young Christians who know next to nothing about their faith except how they feel about it." And you go back what he said, I thought, wow, that is a tremendous quote. We ought to put that in a gospel track, amen. Let me read it again. He says, "Ironically, the billions of dollars we've spent on youth ministers, Christian music, publishing, and media has produced a culture of young Christians who know next to nothing about their own faith except how they feel about it." And boy, he hit that nail right on the head with that. Everything is geared to feelings, and yet we know that we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible is very clear. So churches have made the same mistakes that many times the schools have made. Many times the schools have thought, well, the way to teach these children is we just need more money. We need more money so we can build more gymnasiums and swimming pools and tracks and have more athletic equipment. We need to give a laptop to every student. The list goes on and on and on. And you know what? It's not more money we need. I mean, everyone always could use more money, don't get me wrong. But what we need is the fear of God. That's what we need. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 1. We need the fear of God. That is the missing ingredient. Could you use more money? Well, I'm sure you could. I'm sure there is something you could probably use if you had more money. But what we need more than money is the fear of God, the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. But who? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10. Look at that. Chapter 9, verse 10. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the what? The holy is understanding. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and he said his dad was a Baptist preacher, and he said he got tired of things being crammed down his throat. And so, you know, he's kind of out of that realm now. What he missed was these verses we've talked about. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Obviously, he didn't understand why. He didn't understand why. Just like this man is writing, and I wouldn't call that those young people necessarily Christians. If they don't know anything about their faith other than how they feel, there is a definite problem, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God, Romans 10, 17. If someone does know anything more about their faith than what they feel, then I would have to greatly question their faith, because how can you have faith in feeling? The Bible never says we can have faith in feeling. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you have faith, then the feelings will come, but you can't get that reversed. You can't walk by feeling and then have faith. It doesn't come that way. It's the opposite. Imagine that an engineer was called to come and help remodel a 110-story building. They decided they wanted to make a helicopter landing pad on the top. And so they call in the engineer and say, okay, the superintendent of the building hands the engineer a thick roll of blueprints and says, okay, this is how the building was engineered. These are detail of all the beams, the structure, the size of the beams, the hardness of the beams. You decide if we can land a helicopter on the top of this thing. And imagine the engineer saying, no, I'm not going to look at those papers. I am going to personally inspect this entire building. I am going to measure every beam size on every floor. I'm going to see whether how the bracing is in this building. I am going to test the rivets or bolts, whatever holds the steel together. I'm going to test it. I'm going to personally test the hardness of the steel on every floor. Well, you have a little problem. There's a little drywall in the way. On most of those buildings, there's fire retardant that's been sprayed on all those steel beams. You're going to have to chisel off, which if it's a 110-story building of any age at all, it's probably got asbestos sprayed on it. So now you have a whole other problem. Can you imagine how long it would take for each floor to inspect each corner steel beam, each horizontal beam, 110 stories? You're talking about years and years. And yet the evolutionist is even more foolish. The evolutionist rejects God's blueprint, the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The evolutionist throws away the blueprint and says, no, I'm not going to believe that. I am going to personally inspect this earth. I am going to personally inspect space. I'm going to send out probes. With each of these probes they send out, it seems like they always have to say, well, we're going to try to discover how the universe began. Futile. They will waste their whole lives. And still will not know. The answer is right here in the Word of God. God created the heavens and the heaven and the earth. And notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11. How foolish not to accept the blueprint that God has left. Hebrews chapter 11. My friends, Education could be turned around by the fear of God. The fear of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what have we done? Well, we've thrown God's word out of the schools. We can't figure out why our government is having such a hard time. Why our government needs more money? Well, it's the same thing. The government has many great problems it's facing. But the answer is not money. The answer is the fear of God. God can bless and meet the needs. But we need the fear of God. And it's something we're just not hearing much about anymore. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, 3. Through what? Through faith. We understand. Through faith we what? We understand. Through faith we understand that the worlds were what? Were framed by what? The Word of God. Now, if you've been around construction, a lot of times when they're building a house, they'll say, well, this construction crew is framing it in. They're talking about putting up the shell of the house. Outside walls, inside walls, they're framing it in. Who framed this world? God. How do we know that? From His blueprints. We understand through faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God didn't need a hammer. God didn't need an air nailer. God spoke it into existence so that the things which are seen were not made of what? Things which do appear. Brother Holman talks about it in his creation tapes, you know, that the typical evolution thing is they'll say in their books, well, about 4 or 5 billion years ago, the universe was the size of the dot of this the size of the period on this page. Well, that's one mighty dense dot, isn't it? And then a big bang exploded that dot the size of a period on your page, and voila, we have everything that you can see. We have the Earth, the Moon, all the planets, billions upon billions of stars. Can you imagine all that fitting in a dot the size of a period on a page? No. And they laugh at us and our faith. Well, that's pretty ridiculous, I would say. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, which means that they will never discover how matter came to be by studying matter. Because God said He brought it into existence out of nothing. And man cannot scientifically experiment with nothing. So without faith, he'll never understand how the universe began. He'll spend billions and billions of dollars trying to find out. God said to Job in Job 38:3, verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Man can't go back in time. I know man likes to think of programs, time machines, but man can't go back in time. Notice in 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3. Once again, thinking about God spoke the universe into existence. Sometimes I'm kind of amused that some of these people talk about prophecy and they prophesy that God will destroy the earth by nuclear bombs. Well, God doesn't need a nuclear bomb to destroy the earth. All He needs is His word. 2 Peter 3, verse 5. 2 Peter 3, 5. For this they what? Willingly are what? Ignorant. They're willingly ignorant. On purpose. That by the what? Word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in water. So once again, this verse tells us the same thing. It was by the word of God that all this came to be. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same what? Word. By the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what? Fire. Against the day of judgment and perdition of who? Ungodly men, which shows us we need to repent. We don't hear much about that. Repentance, we need to turn from our sin to Jesus Christ. We're not cleaning ourselves up, but we have the desire for God to cleanse us. We're turning our back on that life to Him, asking Him to give us the power to live for Him. So the Bible says there, it was by the Word of God. Notice in Psalm 33, how did God create the earth? Can you imagine the engineer personally inspecting a 110-story building, every beam, testing it for hardness, measuring it, checking it for stress, checking it for cracks? That'd take years, years and years and years. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the what? Word. By the word of the Lord were what? The heavens made. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. Verse 9. For He what? He spake, and it was what? Done. How would you ladies like that? Go home this afternoon. Barbecued chicken, be done. Mashed potatoes and gravy, be done. Hot homemade bread, be done. Don't you like that? Family, it's ready. Wow, Mom, you're quick. God spoke it into existence. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Verse 9, for He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. How many of you ladies have had a beautiful cake and someone slammed the door, or for some other reason it had a crater in the middle anyway after a while? It looked so beautiful and then something happened and it sunk in the middle. Well, God spoke it into existence and it stood fast. What God does, He does well. So God promised in His word here. Notice in Psalm 12, God promised in His word that He would preserve His blueprint pure for every generation. God promised that. Don't doubt. Don't let some scoffer come along. It's like, you know, would you believe some scoffer that came along and said, you know what? In my backyard, I found proof that God really didn't create everything. Would you believe him? No, afraid not. Well, don't believe someone that comes along and says the Bible is full of mistakes. Don't believe that. God promised to preserve it. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt what? Keep them, O Lord. Well, how long? How long have you kept things? Have you ever noticed that newspaper clippings get yellow with age? They get old. How long have you kept things before you've thrown them out? You guys in the garage, how long have you kept a piece of steel before you finally threw it out, or a piece of wood? And then the next week after you threw it out, you needed something just like that. Yeah. You've experienced it, I can tell. Well, God said of His word, verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them from what? This generation forever. God promised to preserve His word pure, as a pure as silver, for every generation forever. So the theory of evolution has, like the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When we go out to talk to people about the Lord, and we say, you know what, you're going to have to answer to God one day. And they're thinking in their mind, if they've been trained in evolution, they're thinking in their mind, why do I have to answer to God? When all this came about by accident, who is God? Where does He enter into the picture? Why do I have to answer to Him? Evolution has been the biggest of the biggest problem that's come along. It's just knocked the foundation right out from under people. There's no fear of God because of that. So Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So the theory of evolution has been the biggest waster of money of all time. You may say, well, I don't know about that. Think about all the money in education that is spent, all the money spent in research, wasted in education, wasted in research, trying to find out the beginnings of the universe. And it's all wasted. Billions and billions of dollars have been wasted and is still being wasted on that very matter. Notice with me in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Where do you stand as a Christian? You know, when I was a young man, I knew that God created the heavens and the earth. I believed the Bible. I didn't believe the evolutionists. I didn't believe what I was taught in school about evolution. But I didn't know what to believe about dinosaurs. And because I didn't have an explanation for them, and because I had heard that many of these dinosaur skeletons, a lot of them are just plaster of Paris, I just figured there never was such a thing as dinosaurs. And it was later in my life that I finally realized, yes, there were big animals that are now extinct, but they walked right alongside with mankind. They did not exist billions of years ago. But 1 Timothy 6, here's what we need to remember, verse 20, 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of what? Science. Oppositions of science, what? Falsely so-called. You know what the word science means? It means knowledge. It means to know. Well, today's science is not knowledge, it's theory. Evolution is not science. Evolution is a theory. It's an idea, and it's a ridiculous idea. So we need to beware. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. God is saying there's some things that are going to come along that are called science that are false. Don't be led astray. Verse 21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. It tells us here, you know what, even Christians can get led away with such foolishness if they're not careful. Let's go back to Acts 4. What about your training? Well, maybe you don't have a college degree in geology. That's okay. Acts 4, verse 13. But what about your training in regard to Jesus? Acts 4, 13. Now when they saw the what? The boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what? Unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took what? Knowledge. They took knowledge of them that they had been with who? Jesus. You know what? You may not have a degree in biology or zoology or sociology or psychology or any of those other ologies. That's probably you're better off for it, the less you know about those things. There are so many unbiblical things about each of those subjects. But they perceived, the apostles, none of them had a formal education. Later on, the Apostle Paul did. And let me just say this, I'm not trying to get you down on formal education. God will use whatever you give him. You know what? If you have in your toolbox an air nailer, you know what? You're going to be able to get more done than the guy who just has a hammer and a nail imprint. You have a tool, you can get a lot done. Well, God used the Apostle Paul to write more of the New Testament than any other of the apostles. Paul was a very highly educated man. In Acts 22, verse 3, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. But the interesting thing is Paul was not in the original 12. As far as the original 12, God found right here what verse 13 describes. What was considered ignorant and unlearned men. But you know what? It made the learned men astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. These men didn't have degrees, but they had boldness. These men did not have degrees, but they had been with Jesus. And they were not ashamed of him. I'm kind of ashamed of the different preachers that are interviewed that seem to be ashamed of the Lord. They have many degrees, some of them, And yet they seem to be ashamed of God. Verse 13, these guys were just common men. They didn't have a formal education. But you know what? They had something better. They had been with Jesus. My grandpa Rector is now with the Lord. He graduated from the eighth grade. That's all the further he got. But you know what? He learned how to read from the Word of God. And he was a good reader. A good reader. And he had more knowledge in that sense than someone who had graduated from high school or college or graduate degrees, whatever. So we need to spend time with the Lord. Are you doing that every morning? Are you spending time with God? Before you rush right out into the day, why would we wonder why things go wrong in the day if we're not spending time with the Lord? How do we know what His will is? How can we be prepared for what we're going to face? Matthew 4:4, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I can talk about Barry because he's not here today. But I thank the Lord for Barry that in the morning, he always spent time with the Lord. That Bible was always open. And most of the time he would eat food, but he always took time to read the Bible. And so God gave him the desires of his heart because he put God first in the day. Are we doing that? Do we get up and spend time with God? Need to do that. Verse 13, these men were unlearned and ignorant, but they had been with Jesus, and people took note of it. Jesus constantly referred to the scriptures. How can we get through a day? The things we face. Notice in Psalm 27, trials. Brother Jim talked about the trials we can face in life. Verse 14, Psalm 27:14. Wait on who? The Lord. Be of good what? Courage. And he shall what? Strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. Maybe you're waiting on something in your life right now. Maybe you're like Barry. Maybe you've been praying 2 years about something or more. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You may say, but I don't know what to do. Well, look at verse 11. Teach me what? Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a what? Plain path because of mine enemies. Life can get so confusing and complex. But you know what? That's why we need to read the Bible. You may say, but you don't know. You don't know what I'm facing. Maybe you're facing what verse 10 describes. Verse 10. When my who? Father and my what? Mother forsake me, then who? The Lord will take me up. Maybe you're here saying, you know what? My dad and mom forsook me a long time ago. They turned their back on me. Well, you know what? Read the Bible. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You discouraged? Verse 1. The Lord is my what? My light and my what? Salvation. Whom shall I what? Fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be what? Afraid. Last Sunday, a preacher, I forget, what Illinois was it? Okay, where he was shot. And Sunday school class told me there was at least two other shootings this week. The point is this, none of us know when we're going to die. It could be in church. It could be on the road. It could be in the hospital. We don't know, but we need to be ready. There's only one way to be ready. We need to be like the apostles here. It doesn't matter if you have a degree or not. What matters is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you repented of your sin? Have you turned from your sin to Him? I didn't ask if you cleaned your own life up. I'm saying, do you have the desire for Christ to clean up? Are you willing to turn your back on that old life of sin? That's quite unlike what we're seeing today. You know, some of the congregation in that church in Illinois thought it was a play or a skit. Because when the man started shooting, the bullets were hitting the preacher's Bible, and one man said he thought it was confetti. And I thought, if that doesn't tell the story, you know what? We need to quit playing in church and reverence God. We need to have the fear of God. They didn't notice about the apostles what a good time they could have around them. They didn't. Peter, James, and John weren't known as the three life of the party. What we need is repentance and faith in Christ. The Christian life is a battle. It's not a party. It's a battle. But it's a battle that's well worth it, my friend. And this morning, if you're not absolutely certain that you're going to heaven when you die, please come. Brother Jim will be here in just a moment. And don't leave without Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we realize what's needed today is the fear of God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And there's only one way to get to heaven, through the precious, sinless, shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Father, have your way in each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, not to try to play church or play Christianity, but truly to live for you. Help us to spend time with you every day, every morning, the first thing. And please lead and guide us. And please give us the boldness that we need to reach a lost and dying world. Give us the boldness, Lord, to reach Christians that have begun to think that the Christian life is just party time. Lord, there's much to do. Help us to be in the battle. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, if you would, please. Think of the song, Jesus.